Our speaker for this next hour is Brother Steve Weiss.
I want to ask that you open your Bibles to Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7. I've asked James Cottrell to come and read a passage for us. And he'll be reading Romans 7, verse 13 through chapter 8, verse 8.
Romans chapter 7, beginning verse 13. Has then what is good become death to me? Certainly not, but sin, that it might appear sin, was producing death in me through what is good, so that sin, through the commandment, might become exceedingly sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice, but what I hate, that I do. If then I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law that it is good. But now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, nothing good dwells, for to will is present with me. But how to perform what is good I do not find. For the good that I will to do, I do not, but the evil I will not to do, that I practice. Now if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. I find then a law, that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God.
Here's a description of the classic battle that is within each and every one of us. Paul experienced it. The Holy Spirit inspired him to write about that battle. Friends, if someone says to you that no such battle is going on within themselves, then perhaps they have become reprobates or have deceived themselves. But I'm telling you, when we live in this world, we have that battle going on within us. Now, some have taken this passage and perverted it in saying, well, as long as in my spirit I desire to serve God, then my fleshly body can do whatever it wants to. Friends, that's not what Paul's talking about. He's talking about that battle that goes on within each and every one of us. And he is desiring to help us to gain the victory. And friends, I want you to know this is a real battle that is happening, and one that we must be aware of in order that we can overcome and have the victory that God wants us to have. Well, my thing is not working. Josh, can you help me out there? See if we can click on that for me. Paul himself recognized that this battle was going on. John said, the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. We need to understand that This is something that is true, that's happening. And so it is that we must be aware of that in order that you and I can have what we need to overcome this. But someone asked the question, what about all the good people? We know this battle's going on, but aren't people good? Aren't people, doesn't God recognize all the good that's in the world? Well, in Romans 6, in verse 16, he said that you are slaves to whom you obey. If you obey sin, then you're the slave of sin. And the only way to overcome that is through Jesus Christ. We need to understand that. Jesus Himself said in Matthew 7, verse 21, not everyone who says to be Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Now just before this, He spoke about the narrow way and the broad way. And in the narrow way, He said there's only a few who find it. And so the Bible does not tell us all good people are going to heaven. But as you think about that, we have to understand God's definition of good and evil. It's not what we always think about. Because we may think of some atheists who are good people, who are charitable, who go out and help their neighbors, who've done a lot of good things in this world. Now friends, our definition of good may not be what God's definition is. In your soul, who is winning the battle? This is a question that we all must answer. And one day, we're going to have to stand before Jesus Christ Himself and give an answer to this question. An answer for the deeds that we have done in our bodies. And so I want us to look at some of this today as we think about this battle and how we can overcome. Now, carnal mindedness leads to death. We need to be aware of this and understand that there's no in-between in this. In Romans 7, verse 5, for when we were in the flesh, the sinful passions which were aroused by the law were at work in our members to bear fruit to death. And friends, this death, He's not talking about just some bad thing happening. He's talking about the second death that we read about in Romans or Revelation chapter 21, verse 8. Those wicked people are going to be cast into the lake of fire, which is the second death. And so we're talking about that eternal destruction, pain, agony, weeping and gnashing of tears for all eternity in the flames of hell. That's where we don't want to go. That's what we want to miss. But that's what he's talking about. In verse 19, for the good that I will to do, I do not do. But the evil I will not to do, that I practice. Which one of us has not been guilty of this at one time or another in our lives? Which one of us does not presently carry on a struggle with things like this in our lives each and every day? Friends, Satan tempts us. He's there after our soul. He wants us to have that pain and that agony throughout all eternity. We're to examine ourselves and look at ourselves in an honest way. Because when we stand before Jesus, there'll be no lying. He knows our hearts. He knows our deeds. And so we won't be able to skirt around it this way or offer up some grandiose excuse as why we did not obey what the Bible says. But He's going to call into question the things that we do in this life. In verse 23 and 24, He said, but I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity of the law of sin which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? You see, that's the question. Oh, yeah. Are we wretched? Are we sinners? Yeah, you remember back in chapter 6 and in chapter 3? Oh, yeah. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There are none that are righteous, no, not one. And so, friends, we're all under that umbrella of sin. None of us are righteous. None of us have indeed attained to that righteousness of Jesus Christ. Satan tempts us. Now, this does not affirm what some have said, that we are born with the nature of sin and we cannot overcome. We have a choice. Sin is sin because of the choices that we make. When Eve was in the garden that day, she chose. She saw the fruit there. She knew what God had said. She chose to eat. God told Cain, sin lies at the door, but he chose to kill his brother. And so you and I, we need to understand this, but at the same time, each and every one of us has this battle going on. Oh, wretched man that I, who shall deliver me? Now, Paul gives the answer. We're going to get into that in a little while, but I want you to know, you're not alone when you fight this battle. We're all going through this. It's something that we face each and every day. In Romans 8, verse 5 and 6, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. You see the choices that we make. Now, this is the danger that we all face. Now, maybe you and I don't set our heart to go out and commit adultery, fornication. We don't set our mind to go out and lie and to cheat and to steal. Maybe we're not looking at that, but there are other ways. You know, Satan is so very tricky that he puts other things in our pathway that takes our attention away from Jesus and God. Maybe it's our employment. We're so worried about the economy. Maybe it's our family or friends. Maybe it's the entertainment that we enjoy. Maybe it's the priorities that we put before God and Jesus. Maybe it's the lifestyle you like to live. Rather than being submissive to God and to Jesus, maybe you just have your own ideas, your own ways, and you say, well, I'm not changing for anybody. There's that battle. Friends, if we're not willing to change for God and for Jesus Christ, what hope do we have? We have none. And so we must be a people who set our minds on spiritual things, not the things of the flesh. Paul is wanting us to look at this, examine ourselves and see where we stand in our lives. In verse, how do you spend your time? Does God fit in there somewhere other than just Sunday morning? Does Jesus Christ come into your mind at other times? How are you spending? Where are you placing your priorities? You know, in Colossians chapter 1, verse 18, verse 24, there it says that Christ has the preeminence. That word preeminence, that means the number one spot. Not second, not third. The first commandment says to love the Lord your God with all of your heart. There's no place for God and Jesus in your heart except the first place. If He's second, third, fourth, or fifth, something's wrong. Something's wrong. We got to have our priorities right. We don't need to set our minds on those things. In verse 7 and 8, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Now he's not talking about living in this fleshly body in this world, okay? He's talking about having your mind set on the things of this world. That's what carnal means, worldly. We're more worried about the physical pleasures of this life than we are the spiritual treasures of God and Jesus. And we need to look at that with a true heart, with an open mind, and examine ourselves, where do we stand? The battle is going on. Are we growing spiritually so that we can fight this battle? Or are we indeed entangled in the ways of this world? Friends, you got to look at yourself and see. That carnal mindedness, it'll lead you to death. You got to look at it that way. On the other hand, spiritual mindedness leads us to life. In verse 6 again, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Oh, thank God. He didn't leave us hanging. Paul didn't just tell us about that battle that was going on and then just say, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me? Friends, spiritual mindedness, our growing to be that spiritual being that God wants us to be, that His Son indeed was. He wants us to be that. In verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Now see, there's the answer to his question. Wait a minute. Wretched man that I am, who can... Well, Christ, He can deliver me. He's the one that gives me that hope, that supplies the way. But I want you to notice something here. There is no condemnation to those who are in Christ. In Christ. Friends, if you're outside of Christ, you have no hope. Now, I'll take you back to chapter 6 again in looking at this. How do I get into Christ? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? Friends, that's how. Paul answers his own question even before that. Someone says, well, Romans 10, verse 10 says that if you believe in your heart, you'll be justified if you indeed confess with your mouth unto salvation. That's not the end of it. He had already said in chapter 6 that we're baptized into Christ Jesus. Shall we take Romans 10 and forget Romans 6? The same man wrote both passages. We got to take them both together. If we're going to be in Christ Jesus, Galatians 3, verse 27, for as many of you as were baptized into Christ Jesus have put on Christ. And so we see that indeed this is the way. A person who believes, who repents of their sins, confesses the name of Christ, and is baptized into Christ Jesus. Friends, that's the answer. At least the beginning of your spiritual growth. That's the beginning. It's not the end, it's the beginning. In chapter 8, verse 13 again, for if we live according to the flesh, we will die. He didn't mince words, did he? He didn't say, well, maybe or maybe not. You got to be... He said, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. I appreciate that strong words that are written here. Someone says, how can I know? Well, here, if you live according to the flesh, you will die. We know. The Bible says so. But if we live according to the Spirit, if we walk according to the Spirit, you will live. Oh, thank God for the answer to the question, for the promise that is there. And then, now the works of the flesh are evident. Galatians 5, verse 19 through 21. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outburst of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. This is not a complete list. And the like. Now some of these get into points like selfishness, envy. Now maybe we don't have trouble with drunkenness. But do we have trouble with envy? You know, it's interesting how that envy can just build up inside of you without even realizing it sometimes. You know, yesterday we had JR's chili cook-off. And there were 7 pots of chili in there. Boy, they were all good, but you know, I had the best pot of chili. But somebody, I think there were some hanging chads on the ballots or something, and Bob Belcher won the chili cook-off. You just got to watch out. That envy can just, you know, I had the best pot of chili there. Or so I thought. friends, we got to watch out for things like that, even small things. Well, that doesn't make any difference. Well, doesn't Satan like to start off with something small and let it grow and grow and grow? Sure he does. That's the way he gets a hold of most people. But friends, we've got to grow spiritually, not carnally, spiritually. That's the way he calls us to do this. And so when we do, he says, just as I told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Boy, he's just not wishy-washy about that, is he? So we got to do what's right. In verse 1 again, there's therefore now no condemnation, no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. We got to make sure. We can't leave it a if, and, or maybe, perhaps. Someone said, I heard recently, well, you just can't be sure until you stand before God on the day of judgment. Friends, I know that I know that I'm saved. In 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 3, hereby we may know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. And friends, Paul's saying here, there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ. They're not walking according to the flesh, but you're walking according to the Spirit. I know that I know. I'm headed toward heaven. Colossians 3, verse 1 and 2, if then you are raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, and not on things of the earth. Friends, are you doing that? Huh? Are you seeking after those worldly treasures, or are you seeking after the heavenly treasures? Remember, Paul said, if you set your mind on things of the flesh, well, here Paul says, if you've been baptized, you've been raised up, set your mind on things above. We've got to grow spiritually. Friends, we may think, well, I'm doing that. Well, are you planning to come back tonight and grow some more spiritually? Well, wait a minute, you're stepping on my toes, preacher. When you stand before Jesus, is He going to step on your toes? If Paul was standing here today, would he exhort you to be at every service of the Lord's church? Are you growing to be more spiritually minded, or are things of this world going to keep you from coming back tonight? We need to look at ourselves, examine ourselves in these things. On your outline it says verse 15, change that to Colossians 3:16, please. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord only on Sunday morning. Is that what it says? I don't think it says only Sunday morning, does it? Friends, we need to do this every time the church comes together. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And so it is we need to be doing that. James 1:25, but he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. Notice he changed from hearing the word to doing the work. How many of us heard the challenge by Tom Edgick last Sunday night? That we go out and convert somebody this year. That we make it our goal that we're going to convert somebody this year. Friends, if we do that, we'll fill the pews in here. But how many of you have thought about it again this week when you're meeting your friends, your relatives, your co-workers? How many of you have accepted the challenge to reach out and try to convert someone? Friends, we need to do it. We need not only hear the word, we need to do the work. If we're going to be that spiritual person that God wants us to be, we're going to have to do that. You think about Paul for a minute. He was a great example of spiritual growth. Friends, he says in Acts chapter 26 that he was an enemy of Christ. Okay? I also did in Jerusalem, he said, many of the saints I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priest, and when they were put to death, I cast my vote against them. You think he wasn't zealous for God? He was, but not according to the truth. He punished them in every synagogue. He compelled them to blaspheme, and being exceedingly enraged, not mildly upset, he was exceedingly enraged. In verse 6, when he met Jesus on the road to Damascus, after he asked him, "Who are you, Lord?" and Jesus said, "I am Jesus whom you are persecuting," his next question was, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" Friends, he changed the direction of his life. And from that point forward, he began to grow. Now Jesus said, "Arise and go into the city and you'll be told what you must do." Now Paul at that point could have said, "Oh Lord, you know, I'm blind. How can I go into the city? How can I find somebody? It's just too much trouble. Why don't you send Ananias out here to me?" Paul heard the word, and then he went to do what Jesus said. Friends, we need to hear the words, and we need to go and do. And not only this, he began to grow. And so in Acts, he continues, "And see now I go bound in the Spirit," in verse chapter 20, "to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await me. But none of these things move me. Nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy. And the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God." Friends, you see the spiritual growth in Paul by the things that he did. When Jesus looks down at us, is he seeing our spiritual growth by the things that we are doing? It's a good question. We need to think about it for ourselves, that we may answer it honestly, that we can indeed be what Jesus wants us to be. There is a war that's going on for your soul. Now, in this war, you cannot be a conscientious objector. You're already lost. You cannot win if indeed you're conscientious. You cannot desert the battle. Deserters cannot win this battle. There's only two ways. And also, you cannot remain neutral in this battle. Friends, Satan wants your soul. He wants you to spend eternity in that lake of fire with him. But on the other hand, Jesus paved the way for you to get on the narrow road, to walk that way to eternity in heaven. Which way are you going? In Galatians 6, verse 8, Paul writes, "For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life." Only two options. Only two. This battle is going on. Which way will it go? In Romans 8 and verse 2, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death." Friends, if you're not a part of that spiritual life, if you're not growing spiritually, Jesus is waiting. He's patient. He's merciful. and He's looking at you this morning. What will you answer? If you're not already in Christ, will you not obey His Word in believing, repenting, confessing, and being baptized? You've already been baptized and yet you're losing the battle. Turn it around. Jesus is waiting. Friends, someone said that God in one is a majority. Well, I'm saying that God is the majority, and I just got to get with Him. The victory is ours through Jesus Christ. Now, friends, what about you this morning? Who is winning the war for your soul? I want you to ask yourself that this morning and give an answer. If we can help you in any way whatsoever, if you desire to put on Christ in baptism, I want you to walk down here to the front. If Satan's been winning the war for your soul, change that today.